Welcome back to another episode of Simmer Stories Around the World podcast. I'm your host, Claire Oldham-West. I'm so excited to be announcing that I've now received 75,000 downloads on the podcast. So as a bit of a celebration for the podcast, I wanted to do a bit of a celebration episode. So what I'm going to do is do this episode with some of the guests that I've had on to date and just to kind of talk about why I wanted to do this. Even as I'm recording this, I'm aware that I'll probably put this onto YouTube. So I'm looking at the camera, but that feels weird. So I'm not going to do that any longer. So yes, the podcast, how did it all start? What made me think that I could be a podcaster? And why did I want to do this? You know, you've probably heard me talking in the past, if you're an avid listener, that I wanted to record more of that true weight loss journey. But just to go back a bit before that time, back in 2018, when I decided to take this on board and be a podcaster, at the beginning of 2018, I was in a corporate job that I'd been in for quite a few years. It's safe to say it was quite a male-dominated environment. And when I did feel that I needed to speak up or have that voice, I often found myself having a challenge by another guy where that, I guess, if you think about that pyramid of authority, it always started with a guy somewhere along the line. And I can remember thinking, why is it I'm always in these jobs where I have to be accountable to usually a male manager? And then when I looked at the company, it was a big corporate company, you know, the CEOs all male. And I can remember just having that moment thinking, all the pushbacks that I get within this company are usually from men. The support that I normally get are usually from women. And I love the guys in my life. Don't get me wrong. You know, my husband, my son, love them all to pieces. My dad, you know, I'm not, you know, this is not a feminist stance of saying I want to hear my voice as a woman. It's just that, you know what? I've actually recognized that throughout my career, I'm usually answerable to a male manager. And I thought, what would happen if I actually decided to do something different? So at the beginning of January of 2018, there was a lot of noise in my company where I was working, a lot of talk of redundancies, and my job was very, I guess, bespoke. So it wasn't a case of like leaving that role and going and knocking on another corporate role's door and saying, can I come and join your company? Because my role was very bespoke. And then that got me to thinking, if I was given redundancy, what would I do? What would I do? And what could I do, you know? And so that's when I started to listen to podcasts. So at the time, there was a lot of this noise at work. And I thought, I'm going to do something positive. So the first podcast that I listened to was Oprah Winfrey. I remember just scrolling through and thinking, what speaks to me? And I remember thinking about how much I loved to listen to Oprah Winfrey back in the day as a kid. So that's what I did. I started to listen to Oprah Winfrey, download the podcast. And I think she had this some sort of, I want to say like morning pages. There was something where there was going through this theme of self-care and all those things. And I loved it, absolutely loved it. So after listening to this podcast, I do believe I started to listen to Dawn French as well. But at that time, it didn't do anything for me. So I carried on listening to Oprah. And then a pop-up came for Kathy Heller with a podcast that was called Don't Keep Your Day Job. And I'll talk about wanting to talk direct to your audience. And that's what I was thinking about. You know, what do I do if I leave my day job? I started off wanting a career in art. You know, I did 5 years at art college, went through little jobs in between that time, then got into like a sales role. Then I retrained as a counsellor. And then obviously more recently as a hypnotherapist. But I was thinking, should I go back to do something more creative? You know, I've got qualifications in graphic design. In art, should I do something? Because back in the day, I didn't have that courage to do anything with that at that time. So anyway, I was listening to these podcasts of Kathy Heller talking about different people that were wanting to be bakers, wanting to create art, do things, really bespoke things, and people doing podcasts. And I spoke to my husband and said, you know what, I'd quite like to do a podcast. And he just looked at me and says, well, okay, so what is it you need to do? So the investment at that time, I think, was about £1,100 on this podcast course. And it was like, okay, that's a bit of a chunk. Is this what you want to do? And it was really supportive. And at that time when I decided that, you know what, I'm going to do this podcast, I felt really motivated. I wanted to do something different. I wanted to change career. I wanted to kind of see at that moment of time what was possible. Because I felt that having worked through corporate UK for so long that I kind of felt in that rat race, and I wanted to see what was possible. That this was kind of me, like stretching out my arms, thinking, you know, what is there for me? And work had been stressful. So I thought, you know, why not do this? It's a really positive step forward. So when I decided to do that and I was going to swimming world classes, I remember having an idea to document a real honest weight loss story, because at that time there was lots of magazines, swimming world magazines, weight loss magazines and books, but it all seemed very pretty, very perfect. And I didn't really hear myself in those magazines about people like me, the busy life, you know, stepmom, young son, working full time. I didn't really hear my voice in those magazines. And I also thought that when we look at those magazines, usually it's with somebody, usually a lady, that's been in makeup for like 4 hours. And I thought, what about the bit before? I want to know the bit before they decided to embark on this weight loss journey. So there I was sitting this podcast course. So I was the only lady in the UK. Doing this podcast course. So my tutor, Kathy Heller, is a podcaster in the US, and she's a big deal now, really is a big deal. I don't know if you've heard of Mel Robbins in the UK, a motivational speaker. She interviews, you know, stars, shiny stars up there, but she also really keeps it real too, and she interviews people that have been on her courses, on the podcast, and she's all about, she's always to me been like that big sister that I never have. Like, you know, of course you can do this. Just, you know, you've got a voice. Just get on there and just do it. So in this very room, if you're watching this on YouTube, in this very room is where I took that podcast course. So I started listening to the podcast course, sitting there and taking on board these lessons. And literally straight away, I was like, okay, so I need to probably get a computer that allows me to record podcasts. How do I even record a podcast? And I was thinking about getting a Mac. So I treated myself to a Mac. And then I met some of the people on the course. We did these Zoom, interactive Zoom lessons. And there was a lady on there that produced film, that she created these mini movies in Europe for different music festivals and art festivals. Another lady on there that was, she used to work as a teacher and she's a writer. Another lady on there that used to work on websites well before we even probably heard about websites in the UK years and years ago. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, Claire, you're a bit dyslexic. You know, you don't talk with this really, truly articulate tongue. Where do you think you're going to fit with all these people learning? So I was sitting there, you know, on this Zoom call, taking in this information, finding it really, really challenging. And to be fair, the course was more about that mindset of course you can do it. This is what you need to do and just do this. And then following those challenges of kind of pushing you towards what you need to do. Because to be fair, to be a podcaster, you just need to be able to show up, record, and just stand in your authentic self. And that's why a lot of people start to podcast and then they quit. And that's what I needed to do. I needed to kind of like part the ego and just think, you know what, I can do this. So that's what I did. Yes, I felt super intimidated. Oh my goodness, I can't even begin to tell you. And then in 2018, when I bought this podcast course, there was a turn of events. And you've probably heard me talking about this turn of events in the past. And this turn of events, I don't really give much detail because I want to protect people. And that basically resulted in a severe kind of like a nose drop of my mental health. I was having panic attacks. I was prescribed medication. I was having to take time off work. I was taking Pranolol for panic attacks, and that Pranolol not really helping me. The meds that was prescribed, because of my day job at the time, I was having to some days drive up to 200 miles a day in a whole day. It wasn't working for me. It was making me drowsy. So as a result, I took, two chunks off of time off work to try and just get to grips with these panic attacks that I was having. And at that time as well, I was thinking, can't believe this. I finally, you know, put this commitment, this investment into having a podcast. And now, as always, you know, that victim mentality, as always, this is happening. And it got me mad. It got me angry. And I don't know if anybody listened to this has ever been in that position where they've been, whether it's been in a relationship or a situation at work, where they've taken it for so long and then that anger starts to come up. And I thought, this is not happening this time around. I thought, no, this is not happening. I was too invested by this point. And I felt that I spent so much time away from it that I'd kind of lost. I'd lost at this point, and I need to probably resit it and do something another time. I thought, you know what, it was a great idea, but then I had the problems with mental health. Maybe I need to come back to it. So I had a really honest conversation on one of the Zoom calls for this podcast, and with Kathy, broke down in tears, and the group was wonderfully supportive. And that's where I connected to Nicole Rivera and also Kim Floden, and they kind of just scooped me up and said, look, Claire, we've got you. We're going to help you. We're going to support you through this. And that's what they did. I'm getting quite emotional, dude, even thinking about that now. So let's just take a breath. And that's exactly what they did. It was very emotional. Even talking about that, I could feel the emotion coming up. And that's what they did. And as an outcome of that, I decided to podcast. So where I was due to launch in December of 2018, January of 2019, I believe it was. It was a lot later for me. I put my first podcast episode out in October of 2019. I wanted to do it for my birthday. It was like me making a stand, regardless of what's gone on, this is me, I'm back. I'm not going to let this swoop in the situation and drag me down, because I'm rising up. And that's what I did. Now, at that time, I was reaching out to people on my Slimming World group saying, would you like to share your weight loss journey? How would you feel about that? Oh, yeah, we'd love that. Absolutely. So I was getting lots of good feedback from it. Some people would say to me, so you're gonna have a podcast. You're going to have a podcast. As if, like, disbelief. Because I'd literally at that time go to Slimming World, sit in that group and not say boo to a goose for most of it until I really felt comfortable and got to know some people. So, and I've always been a natural introvert. So for me to find my voice, this podcast has literally been life-changing. So we're now on 75,000 downloads. And I would say for probably the first 2 years, my son would be like, Mum, don't do this. You're going to embarrass yourself. No one's going to listen to it. No one's going to download it. Please just don't do it. Don't talk about it to my friends. Don't. So embarrassed. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to see. So I think my first month downloads, it was 17 downloads. At the peak of doing the podcast, it was about 3,500 a month. And I've just started podcasting again and going in with that whole journey, not just the transformational weight loss journey, but also talking about that mind, of how the mind works and that subconscious mind. Now I'm introducing hypnotherapy, and you'll be hearing about more about that on the most recent podcast episodes. But what I want to say is, at this point, that this podcast has just been transformational for me. It's just been so much more than a podcast. So much more than a podcast. And I've turned down sponsorship for this podcast. I've really kept my feet grounded and thinking, what do I want this for? Where do I want to go with this? And throughout all of it, the whole power of, I feel, of this podcast is to show up and be authentic. So what I can't do is be sponsored by somebody that wants to promote watches, or somebody that wants to promote a shake or some sort of legging. I've not done that. And I've been approached, and there have been times I think I've even mentioned that I've got sponsorship, and I thought, you know what, Claire, don't do that. Just don't do it. It felt like icky, and I've always trusted my gut feeling. But yes, this podcast has been transformational for me. So I started 2018, listened to that podcast, Don't Keep Your Day Job with Kathy Heller. And at that time when I was doing my day job, I would drive around in the car listening to probably like 4 or 5 of these episodes, because my job was based at that time to meet with vulnerable customers, to make contact with them. A lot of them were really isolated, and that's why the office couldn't get in contact with them. They couldn't reach them on the phone or by letter. So my job was to reach and make contact with them. So they might send me up to Scotland for a week. They might send me to London or Wales. but the majority of the time would be around Hull, Leeds, Sheffield. I live in Nottingham, driving around an hour and a half, 2 hours a day just to get off to my first appointment. So I've been listening to these podcast episodes and I would literally just be obsessed. That's the only way I could describe it. So some days I would listen to four podcast episodes. And by the time I'd discovered Cathy, she was well into the hundreds of her podcast episodes. So I'd got a lot to catch up on. But all of this kind of motivated me. It just gave that desire. What can I do? What can I do? And the corporate job was not necessarily a comfort. It wasn't necessarily that secure comfort blanket, because I was seeing a lot of people receive redundancies and I was kind of thinking, I do not want to have to take redundancy and go into a job that I don't really like, you know. And I had so much freedom in my old corporate job and I thought I just couldn't be managed, you know. The good thing about my old corporate job was that I was like, I managed myself. I'd decide what time I was set up in a day and come back. I wasn't micromanaging anyway, and that was wonderful. I have some days working from home and it fit in with my own life and my child and just family life in general. And I didn't want to have to go and work in an office like 5 days a week. I thought, let's see what we can do. So having listened to those podcast episodes and feeling that motivation, having the podcast, and finding the only way I could describe it is like a backbone that I think I disconnected myself with. That backbone that I think when you've been in difficult relationships can get worn down. Don't get me wrong, it's not all been difficult since I've had this negative relationship. Things have been really positive. You know, I met my husband and life changed beyond recognition for me and my family. But with this podcast, listen to these episodes, I got that desire to want more, to want something different. And because I got this new form backbone, I kind of thought, well, what if I did X or I did Y or I did Z? What if? So just to fast forward a bit to 2020, I think this was around the time of lockdown, I'm forgetting the dates now. Things happened with work where basically they tried to railroad me into a new title, new job role, and then tell me that actually it's not much different. It's more or less the same. And it was not. So this was actually just after COVID came and the company realized that we can't really manage this because we was lone workers. We're supposed to be out making these contacts, but we couldn't do that face to face. So I decided in that moment that this was very different. I made it clear that I thought it was very different to management. And they listened and they said what they had to say, but not really lots of action were being taken. And then we had these meetings arranged. And the short story is I arranged for union rep to be involved in these meetings. I was told at first that I couldn't have the union rep there. And then I went away and sought my own advice. Actually, I can have the union rep there. So while all these meetings were documented, they never noted it. They decided for whatever reason not to note it, which is really strange because we used to deal with ombudsman complaints that went to the One Show, high level complaints, MP events. We did all of those complaints and had to deal with all those things. And I thought, why are they not doing this? And we was going five managers above my head to get to where we had that conversation, saying, look, this is not the same job. It's clearly not the same role. And they just basically wanted us to suck it up and do the job. They thought there was in the rights, that we shouldn't have a problem with it. And then by the end of this, because the union reps had got involved, I put forward some minutes of the meetings that we'd had over these three meetings. And then it showed that they'd basically contradicted themselves and they had to end that redundancy. Shame. So that's what happened. And it was an expensive thing for them to do. So I received 16 years worth of redundancy money that basically supported me for about 14 months on full pay, if you like, to set up my own company, set up my own job, to do something that I felt really, really passionate about. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to have time to do a podcast. I'll be off to, you know, do some counselling. I've got a local lady that I knew who was a counsellor. She's like, I'll give you some referrals for counselling clients. I was going to go back and do the counselling. And then because of lockdown and having that time, I decided to look into hypnotherapy, and then I retrained as a hypnotherapist. And what I want to say in all of that, me now having my own company, having my own freedom, not being accountable to anybody, male or female, just myself, having that backbone to push through especially with a job like hypnotherapy, where people are like, oh, so you're going to, you know, make me bark like a dog. No, I'm not going to do that. I work with PTSD and trauma. Oh, so you're going to, no, I'm not going to do that. Having those conversations, that pushback. Now, I can remember my son being worried, saying, Mom, you need to get another job. I'm like, I'm fine. It's going to be okay. And in fact, just recording this now. So we're now in March, 6th of March, I'm recording this, of 2024. Last week, I received my biggest payout over a three-day period. In fact, that payout that landed in my business account over 3 days was more than a full month of my corporate salary. And when I worked for that company, I was doing okay. I had to hand back my £38,000 company car through gritted teeth. I was like, I'm going to be fine. I'll be super green. I'll just, you know, take the bus and not, who needs a car? But I was willing to do that because I wanted to put all my energy into doing something different. So this is where I'm at. And it would not have been possible without doing the podcast. Finding my voice, being able to do podcast episodes now and stumbling a bit still with my words and thinking, you know what, who gives a damn? If people are still listening to me, they must like something about the way that I do the podcast episodes. And not really having that fear of it all. It's just given me so many opportunities to have such wonderful conversations with great guests that have been very, very brave, you know. And I like to also really showcase people on the podcast that probably would never have dreamed about being on a podcast. I've had podcast episodes recorded in people's cars because they felt being overheard by the family and they want to sit in a car. You know, I've had conversations with many people that suffer with anxiety, but they've still gone ahead and done the podcast, which I think is wonderful. I think it's lovely. I try and get such a diverse guest on the show for that very reason, because I want to show that everyone has that voice, everyone has a story within them to share. And I hope that listening to these podcast episodes, that you've been able to connect to that ability that it is possible to connect to that click moment, that weight loss moment. It's possible to regain your health, that fitness, even if you know your health's been in a dark place due to excess weight, not being fit, not having that freedom in your mind where you think you can just step out the door and go for a run because you've been in a dark place. So I hope these episodes have hit the spot, have touched that bit that has helped you to believe that weight loss is possible. And I talk about it on the more recent episodes that it's so much more than just that number on the scale. So much emphasis is put on that number on the scale. And I get there has to be a measure at some point. And it's not just about even like measuring yourself and measuring your inches. It's about knowing that you need to be in that place to lose that weight in terms of your mind. And that's what I'll be touching on with more episodes around mindset, not just mindset in terms of, oh, go for a walk and just clear your head. No. We're going deeper. I'll be talking more about PTSD, trauma, anxiety, how we manage anxiety, because if we're in an anxious mind, if we're spiraling thoughts, that could distract us from weight loss, because anything that we want in life, we've got to have that focus. We need that focus. And weight loss is no different. And if our minds are busy, if we've got a chaotic life, then there's things that I can help you with using hypnosis. And I'll be talking more about that. And I know it's something that you don't often hear, especially as a woman. I am proud of myself. I am proud of myself. Just flooding the haters. Bring it on. I'm really, really proud of myself of doing this, of doing something I never thought, never, ever dreamed I would be doing. I never thought I would have a podcast. I never thought I would have the confidence to speak up. I never thought I'd have that confidence to verbalize and talk through those words as somebody from an old mining village. I've never thought I would have that. I've always been very conscious about my words, how I speak, how I sound. And I am so, so very proud that I've done this podcast, not only for myself, but also for the guests that have had their turn to share their story. And yeah, there's so much good stuff to come up on the podcast that's coming up. And I just feel like I'm stepping into my own now. I think before when I had the podcast, and I can remember telling my manager, one of my nicer managers, actually, it's lovely. And I told him about the podcast. And then he was like, oh, what is it? What is it? And he had a list. And I was like, oh my goodness. Just that cringe factor of like knowing that people that you know and listen to the podcast, that's one of the hardest things, trust me. That is one of the hardest things, knowing that people that I know that see me as this natural introvert, someone very shy, hearing how I am, you know, like my normal, natural self, because it's not, I don't always show that to people, but with the podcast, that's helped me to do that, absolutely, and just put myself out there, take on board these new opportunities. And I want to just kind of showcase what I wanted for the podcast, that raw, honest conversation. So in this episode, you're going to hear lots of backstories from those previous guests that I've had on, and just those moments that, you know, I think are just wonderful to share and to hear as well. And to relate to, I think, all of the snippets that I've chosen are so kind of relatable. So I hope you enjoy it. And thank you so much for tuning in. I can't even begin to express my gratitude for everyone that's chosen to listen to the podcast, that's come back to listen again. New listeners, if I could only share my story without having to mask it and to show that cloak and dagger, you'd be amazed at where I've come from. And I want to say that if anybody's listening to this podcast that wants a different life, that wants to try something different, that's been through trauma, that's been through difficult life experiences, that's felt fear, then trust me, if I can do this, you can do it too. Trust me when I say, if you're needing a shift, if you're wanting a change in your life, if you're fed up of corporate UK, if you're fed up of being put down, if you're in relationships that are negative, degrading, demoralizing, trust me, if I can do this, then you can do it too. So introducing you to episode 118 of Slimming Stories Around the World podcast. Enjoy. Episode 6 with Aoife.
I went to see my doctor and I was diagnosed originally with lupus. It's an autoimmune disease. And well, obviously I was very sick anyway, and we couldn't understand, or we couldn't figure out for a long time what was wrong with me. But when I got my diagnosis, one of the first things the doctor said to me was, if you don't do something about your weight, you're going to be carried out of the house in a box. And I was kind of, he was blunt about it, but I think he needed to be, because I didn't see myself as big. Well, I knew I was big, obviously, but I didn't see myself as being dangerously big. And as I'm sure you've seen in some of the photos I sent you, my hair was always the big thing. I had different color hair because I thought people would look at my hair rather than the size of me.
Oh, bless you.
But, so that was that. But yeah, he was blunt and he was honest. And yeah, being the type of person I was, it wasn't the thought of dying. It was the thought of having my family or friends having to carry me out of the house in a box at 25 stone 9. So
was it like the thought, the embarrassment of being?
Yes. The embarrassment, and you know, the fact that they'd be going, Jesus, we knew she was big, but we didn't think she was
that big.
She was that big. Yeah. Yes.
And so, you know, I'd imagine that when a doctor has to have these difficult conversations, and they can see the weight that you're at, and obviously the risk to your heart and all those other things, they have to probably think of something that's going to be dynamic enough to hit home for you to make
to it. Hit home. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, I always had a good relationship with this particular doctor anyway. Like, they were always honest with me, and, you know, because I was thinking I was a hypochondriac. I was going in with symptoms of this and symptoms of that, and they still couldn't figure it out. And eventually it was another GP that was visiting the practice. that asked, was there any autoimmune diseases in the family? And there was. My aunt, actually, that lives here in Kerry, has it. They said, right, we'll send you for this particular test. Mm. And I was like, you know, I was kind of thinking, yeah, this is another brush off sign sort of thing, you know, that. But when the test came back positive, we were kind of, whoa, okay. So at least now we have a diagnosis. And as I say, that was kind of putting an answer to all my symptoms. And like, depression is a big thing with lupus as well. Right. So as you can imagine, been told, you know, you're 25 stone and if you don't do something about your weight, you know, you're going to die. And it was kind of like, whoa, okay. So yes, I was kind of hit all at once.
Definitely. That just sounds horrendous. So how old was you at this point? What age were you?
It was 4.5 years ago. So I'm 41 now. So I was 36 and a bit. Yeah.
So just to go back to that conversation, when you left the surgery, the doctor's surgery, what was going through your mind apart from this obviously worry that you're going to be carrying out?
Well, so, yeah. The first thing I thought of was kind of, okay, did that really just happen? You know, because right. It was all kind of, I had the positive diagnosis as well at the same time. And then he, as I say, he said about the weight or losing the needing to lose weight. And as I say, it was kind of all hitting me. But it was only when I got home and I tried to climb my stairs to go up to my bedroom. And I realized this had to stop, like, because I literally couldn't climb my stairs. I was taking 3 steps and having to sit down for a breather.
Oh, goodness.
And that was, it was all kind of like, how long is this going on? I didn't, you know, I mean, it had to have been going on for a long time, but I just didn't, I didn't see it. I didn't, you know,
just like a wake up call to what?
Absolutely.
The reality of it all.
The reality of it all. Yeah. Yeah. So I went online, and researched, you know, things I didn't want. We've all tried them, I'm sure. The shake diets or the, you know, blood group diets or all of those. I didn't want one of those fatty diets.
No.
I wanted something to be able to eat healthy. You know, and I researched it a bit and I found Slimming World online, and basically I joined it and I started following the plan. In almost 11 months, I had lost 10 stone. So in wow. The bones of a year, I'd lost 10 stone.
My goodness.
Even up to kind of 7, 7.5 stone, people didn't notice I'd lost weight, which was kind of, yeah, they were kind of, you know, it was coming up to it. And like, I'd change the hair and they'd say something to me like, is there something different about you? And I'd say, yeah. And they'd go, oh, your hair, you've changed the color. Or whatever. Like, no, I've lost weight. And they're like, kind of, oh yeah, you know, it was kind of, you had to tell them. And I was very disappointed at the time, because yeah. I felt like I was doing great. Like,
yeah, you were, definitely.
Yeah.
Lewis, episode 23.
When I moved to the new company, it was such a relief, because nobody, I wasn't sort of defined by my weight loss. I was just Lewis instead of,
right.
Or it's Lewis who's lost a lot of weight. It was like a clean slate, and the anonymous thing of me weight loss was actually like quite a relief. You know, you sort of, you define, I think a little bit in my last job, I was kind of defined as a weight loss. I wasn't Lewis who is the go-to person for HR issues or things like that. I was, oh, you're the guy who was really fat before, weren't you? And you know, things like that. And it's like, I wanted to be a little bit more anonymous with it.
Right, I see. And I guess having that identity and detaching from that with this new role, it must have been such a relief, and people just seeing you for yourself and not having those judgments must have been such a weight off your shoulders.
Yeah, no, and I was really worried, because after the Man of the Year finals, my story got published in one of the local papers.
Right.
The guys were like, God, I can't believe you. You know, you would never have thought you had that weight to lose. You don't look like a person who's lost a lot of weight. I don't know what they quite meant by, but you know what? They were actually like so supportive with it. And
right.
Nobody mentions it. You know, they don't offer things like biscuits around the room and go, oh, you don't want one, you're on a diet or anything like that. I'm just normal. I fit in. And you know, it's great. I like that.
That's brilliant. That's lovely to hear. And I guess from what you've just explained, you didn't want to stand out. You didn't want to be different, which is kind of a polar opposite to becoming Swimming World Man of the Year as a semi-finalist, because obviously you're totally in the spotlight there, aren't you? So how did you find being nominated for Man of the Year, and how was it to be a semi-finalist?
I lack a lot of confidence, or I did, and my consultant's great for trying to help me build that confidence back up. And she said, you know, you'll be really buzzing when you go to the Man of the Year finals. You know, you'll really, really enjoy it. To be honest, it's really out of my normal comfort zone. The Swimming World people were great. You know, you go there, you meet like Emil Heskey, you get your photo taken, and you really put in the spotlight, but it's in a nice and positive way. Yeah, it's still a little bit out of my normal comfort zone, but I suppose that's all part of the confidence building part again, I suppose.
Definitely. So with your weight loss now, so you've lost a total of
10 stone, I think 1.5 pounds altogether.
I mean, can you sum up in a sentence the effect this has had on your confidence?
It's just changed my life. I feel like a completely new person. I've just turned my life around. You know, things like running, being physically active again. I feel like I've knocked like sort of 10 years off my life in a good way. I feel like I've turned the clock back. I don't feel like I'm 35-year-old. I would say I feel more sort of someone in my 20s.
Brilliant.
I feel more alive now than what I have done for years.
Julie, episode 54. If I was to say, right, okay, write me a chapter on mindfulness, how does that apply to you in your life?
So with mindfulness, I hadn't thought about it a lot until this virus started. And I've never been someone to struggle with mental health or anything. I've been fortunate. But when COVID hit, that really was affecting my anxiety. I was trying to do my groceries, just trying to meal plan and shop for the week. And I couldn't get the things that were on my meal plan because of restrictions and people were being greedy. And I just couldn't get what I wanted. And I came home and I was in a bit of a state. Anyway, I thought, what am I going to start doing? What tools can I start using to help calm? Because I didn't know at that point. I thought this COVID thing was just going to be a month or so. So I actually started practicing using the Smiling Minds app every night, and also started looking at really good sleep hygiene. So, you know, being in bed by 10 o'clock, trying to read some pages off my book doesn't always happen, but doing the Smiling Minds every night. The other part with mindfulness for me is just being able to control what I can control, and not taking on other people's drama and stress and just slowing down. And that's one thing I've loved. I think I was born for COVID because I am an introvert, and I just love not having to rush around. I want to talk about the podcast, and like not just your podcast, which is amazing. There's another podcast that I listen to, and I'd never listened to one prior to COVID. And then because I was able to do daily walks of an hour, I started listening to yours. And then the other one is called The You Project, and they have just helped so much. And, you know, whether it's through the guests that you've had or through the other one where there's a series of guests and topics that they talk about, I think life is just about learning. And so you can take away little messages from everything that everybody says that goes, you know what, I can do that.
Hmm. You know, sometimes I'll interview a guest and they'll share stories about the running and the weight loss and the meals and different things. And usually there's a common element that people can relate to. And I think there's a lot about resilience as well. That's what we've had to do with COVID, isn't it? We've had to really grow a backbone, you know, to like superhuman, like an archangel Michael backbone. It's like, stand tall, grow your wings, stretch them out, and you know, let's see what we can do in this pandemic, just to, I guess, survive and be safe and help others and support our family and friends. And yeah, we've had to change our minds around what's important, what our needs are, and how to meet our needs. And like you said, you know, you're a natural introvert, and I'm the same. It's like, great, I don't have to go out. I can stay in the room and just talk to people on Zoom. Yay! But yeah, no, I think even I've missed catching up with friends and family. So yeah, I mean, I always say to my husband, I just want a day on my own, no children, no husband, just leave me for the day and I can do my own thing. So, but no, I understand where you're coming from. It's been nice, hasn't it? It's just been nice just to have that time.
I know. It's really, look, I wish there was no virus, but I think everybody needed this as a bit of a reality check to slow them down. Yes.
Yeah. And I think now we've come off the gerbil wheel of life, because I always think, when will we actually have this break? And I know that there'll be people listening to this and thinking, I still have to go out to work. I'm working. But for those that were on lockdown and at that time away, it was, you know, kind of a break prior to retirement, because a lot of people just work, don't they, every year on year out, and then, you know, they have retirement. And I guess this was a time just to reflect and pick up new hobbies and interests and sports and lots of different things and podcasts, and just fly with it, which has been lovely.
And I think also the opportunity to have the time to focus on myself helped me get to the goal. My weight really started moving during the time of COVID.
Ashley, episode 22. How have you changed with your newfound confidence around your food?
Thank you. I guess my old self, I would have just eaten anything and everything. Like, I didn't care. I didn't like how I looked. I'd live in leggings and a baggy top. That was my go-to. Like, nothing clingy, nothing. Oh God, no, I would never wear a tight-fitted T-shirt or anything like that. And as I started to eat the food that you can eat on Swimming World, and realising that it's not what you eat that does the harm, it's how you cook it. And I know that Swimming World doesn't concentrate on portion sizes, but, you know, it does when it comes to your snacks. So whereas I probably would have eaten a family bar of Cadbury's dairy milk, now I know that I can have a dairy milk, but it would be a normal size one. When I started to see that I could eat these kind of things and still enjoy life and losing the weight, I guess it just opens your eyes in a different way. So the newfound confidence, like, that's why I say when I try and cook meals now, I want them to look appealing if they've got chocolate smothered over the top or they're swimming in sauce or whatever, because I know it works. I think that's where the confidence comes from. Like, I've done it and I've proved to myself, it doesn't matter about anybody else, I've proved to myself that it works. So the confidence kind of comes with, is it not a smugness, but you're kind of like, well, I've done it. So
yeah,
I'm confident in it because I know it. I've done it myself.
Alicia, episode 99.
I was 300 pounds and I just did not like to be in this body. And so I got a little bit of energy work. I don't know if you've heard of, I'm sure you've heard of energy work, where they had, you know, I had like some suppressed anger and all this, and I had a process and I just felt like, okay, I'm ready to do this. So I created a YouTube channel and an Instagram page, and I did my first YouTube video and said, I'm going to do whatever it takes to lose weight. And I went on this journey taking Isagenics for my weight loss journey. They are meal replacements. And we had, you know, a shake for breakfast, a shake for lunch, and then I would have dinner. I documented almost daily, especially for the first 3 or 4 months. And I would get on the scale, and once a month I would get on the scale and I would tell everybody what I was weighing. And I did so good. And I just remember feeling so amazing. And I felt like I had the answer. I wanted to be a life coach. I wanted to help everybody come to this place. But one thing I didn't understand is, why did I finally want to do it? Like, I didn't really know how to recreate that for someone else. I could tell them about my experience, but I didn't know how to help them get there. And so that is one thing that I have learned since then. So fast forward 10 months later, I had lost 85 pounds and I felt so amazing. As I was getting better and I was feeling so good, I remember sitting on the side of my bed and my husband just felt like he was holding me back. And we've had a toxic relationship. We've been codependent on each other. You know, I've had my food addiction, he's had his addictions. And so for one of us to kind of get doing better, and he kind of felt stuck. I think that was part of the reason why he felt depressed. And I realized that he was having suicidal thoughts, and he just felt like he would say something like, I just feel like you're better off without me. You're holding me back. And so that really started to put me on this path of fear. And we went and got counseling, and he got on a medication that he was previously addicted to. And that was the moment that I went into fear, and I couldn't not eat anymore. So I had gone a whole year without sugar. And because I had all of these fears, all these feelings of fear, didn't know how to deal with them without the food. So I remember on my YouTube channel, if you go through, I have so many videos, it would be hard to find, but you could see kind of where I made my changes, and I started to get into fear, but I couldn't tell people what was happening for my husband's privacy. He's given me permission to talk about it now. But at the time, he didn't want anyone to know because everybody knew about his previous issues. I wanted to be loyal to him and all those things. And so I had to hold all of this in, all the secrets and the fear of what's going to happen, because I know what happens when he takes this medication. And so every single day I went and bought these cookies that were huge, huge. And I just had to eat those cookies every single day. And I didn't know why. And you know how people say that food doesn't taste as skinny feels? In those moments, I didn't believe that. I felt emotionally like I did not know how to handle these things without the food. I did not learn how to do that. And I was just lost. And so eventually I just gained more. And I was doing videos here and there, and I was trying a new thing, and I was trying to pick myself back up, and I just couldn't do it. And I think it was like 2 years that I just tried to start losing weight. If I could just start losing weight again, then I would be okay. And I would be back to being worthy, right? And eventually I gained all of that weight back. And once that happened, as I started gaining it back, I just started to feel this shame and this heaviness in my heart. And I was embarrassed. You know, I publicly was showing this journey of losing weight on social media, and everybody was noticing and everybody was saying things to me. And I would literally remember when I saw somebody and they told me that I looked good or that they noticed that I was losing weight, I would have this mental picture in my mind because it would mean so much to me. I wanted that approval from people. And so then when I started to gain weight, like for example, my neighbor, I remember her saying, oh, my husband saw you walking outside to get the mail and he just noticed how skinny you were getting. And I remembered that comment the next time I saw him. And then I didn't want to see him because I didn't want him to notice that I was getting big again. Yeah. So it just started this cycle of shame, and then it became depression, not to a point of suicide. I never have gotten that dark, but to the point where I just wanted to stay in bed, and to the point where I didn't even want to take care of my kids. I have 4 kids and I love being a mom. It is everything to me. And I've always loved being a mom. It was like the one thing that I felt good about me was being a mom.
Yeah.
And I remember my son just saying, Mom, why are you so sad all the time? And I'm like, I'm sorry. I can't pretend anymore. I'm just not happy. Mm. And that was hard because I cried a lot at that time.
Alison, episode 94.
If I'd been out with friends, in my own friends' company, I was fine. But I used to get the fat jokes in and pull myself to pieces. Because if I was doing it to myself, I was fine. They weren't doing it to us. They didn't have a new joke to crack. And I would cope that way. But if I walked into a room full of people where I didn't know anybody, maybe we'd gone to an event or an occasion, I would scan that room as quick as I could, looking for a table that was tucked in a corner, tucked out of the way, you know, so people didn't notice us. But at 22 stone, you couldn't help but notice us. You know, people would look, seeing the look on their faces, the jaws dropped. You could read their lips. I often heard things like, whoa, look at the size of her. And I would just scurry to the table and sort of hide. And then, obviously, I was sometimes scared to go to the buffet table because I would feel like people will say, oh, let's see what she puts on that plate. Look at the size of her. She'll clear the tables type of thing. I was almost scared to do that in the end.
And I know, Alison, the other guests have explained about being on the plane and that moment where they realise that they need to reach for that extension. And I've had that feeling where, you know, I put maybe a pair of jeans on and they're too tight, but I'm really struggling to fasten. And I remember as well coming back from, I think, a weekend away with my husband, going into Sainsbury's and then realising that my actual trousers had split while I was in the supermarket. And I'm having that moment of like, oh my God, can, you know, the ground just open up and swallow me, because it's just that sheer embarrassment. But I also, like I said, I know how uncomfortable it can be to wear tight-fitting clothes when you really shouldn't be wearing them because they are too tight. So sitting on that plane and having that really uncomfortable feeling, how was that, you know, how was that plane journey? And did you get up from your seat?
I never budged from the seat. I was terrified too. I thought if I got up and it wouldn't fasten, I would have to ask for the extender. It was unpleasant. It was uncomfortable. As I say, I suffer diverticulitis, so there was an issue. I may have needed the toilet. Luckily, it was just a short-haul flight and I didn't need to sit for hours. But I would say it's been 7 years, I think, it was, that I hadn't been on a plane before the next time we took a plane for our holidays. And that feeling of getting on the plane again, sitting there, 11 and a half stone lighter, being able to fasten that seatbelt and pull it in, not being on its very end tag, was amazing. Just an amazing feeling to be able to do that again.
Melanie, episode 35.
So at that point that you felt really, really rubbish about having lost your job and having those difficulties, how long did it take you to make that decision that you wasn't going to go back to your previous weight?
I think with running, it changes your whole mindset. So I started running more and that then changed my food habit again. So I started running. I stopped running for a while. I had a knee injury. And then I was just like, I can't, you know, I can't keep eating rubbish and not exercising. So I let my knee recover and then I just started running again. And it just gives you all the endorphins that you need. And then I was like, right, okay, let's have a look on Instagram. Let's see what new recipes are online. Let's try the sticky beef or let's try the Mayflower curry. Let's get back on it. And like next week, I want to try 3 different new meals. And then, I really enjoyed that meal. I'll try that again next week. Or I really enjoyed that one. I'll try that again. And you start eating something you enjoy again because you get bored of the same foods week in, week out, which will make you go back to old habits. Mm. So every now and again, look for some new recipes and you'll be amazed how great it feels. KFC chicken, I've had people send me like, oh, you need to try this. And I'm like, yeah, I will. I'll give that a go. Still need to do the Dorito chicken. So I will do that one day, but I haven't got around to it yet.
there's so many, isn't there, to try? There's so, so many. For anybody listening who's overweight or they've just started their slimming journey and we're starting talking about running, you know, they might be listening to this thinking, I thought this was a slimming podcast. So running, I totally hear what you're saying. I 100% agree with you. There's something magical about running. At your previous weight, how likely would you have been to have gone for a run?
No chance. There'd be more chance of seeing a pig fly than seeing me run when I was back at my heaviest weight. Yeah, you would have, yeah. There'd be a pig flying, but no, definitely not, no. It gave me the confidence. Losing the weight gave me the confidence to go for a walk with one of my friends who had a dog, and then we started walking. I'd go over, we'd go for a long walk. And she's like, oh, have you ever tried running? And I was like, no, not for me, not for me, not for me. And then she was like, oh, I'm just going to jog with the dog. I was like, all right, I'll see you around home then. So she'd go for a jog and then I'd be like, oh, don't leave me behind. And it just went from there.
So it would have not happened if I was at my heaviest weight, but it was only once I'd got 5 stone off before I'd even looked at running.
Ruth, episode 16.
When I went to university, that's when it really started to pile on, because of course you're away from home for the first time. I was going out drinking, trying to fit in with people, and I was eating a lot of takeaways as well. It was that kind of student lifestyle, and it just sort of ballooned from there. And I think at my biggest, I went up to a size 22,
right?
Possibly 24. I was probably squeezing into a size 22 when really I should have been wearing a 24.
Going to university, going to college, I've been in that situation where I've gone away. And you hear a lot about how it's fantastic to go away to university, don't you?
Yeah.
How wonderful it is. And, you know, you have this great social life. But being in that situation and then still receiving the bullying, you must have felt so isolated.
Yeah, I did feel quite lonely a lot of the time. And I think because of the issues that I'd had in high school and college, I was just desperate to kind of to fit in and to be liked by people, I suppose. So I kind of adopted the role of, you know, being pretending like I didn't care, pretending like everything was fine, making jokes about myself just to so it would come across that I wasn't bothered when really I was. And I just kind of did everything to avoid sort of looking at anything of myself. Like I didn't have any mirrors, I avoided photographs at all costs, just so that I could kind of it's a strange thing in a way, because it was like in my head it was like out of sight, out of mind, but obviously it didn't work. And you know, you just kind of you deal with things on your own in an evening when you've got nobody else around you, and then the rest of the time you pretend like, you know, you're fine with everything.
Just to fit in and feel the attention's not on yourself, I guess. But with this, and what did these people used to say? What did the students say to make you feel so awful?
I can remember one occasion actually when I was stood at a bar, and then two of the other students were like stood next to me, and they were having a conversation, and I overheard one of them say to the other, "Oh, I'm not as big as Ruth, am I?" And she said, "Oh no, nowhere near as big. Make sure you stand next to her all evening because you look really slim next to her." Things like that, and you know they do it like it almost felt like they were deliberately doing it so that I would hear them, but then in a way that I felt like I couldn't say anything because I felt like I wasn't supposed to hear it, kind of thing. Again, I just, you know, pretended like I didn't hear it, like it didn't bother me, but I'd just go home and cry most evenings, to be honest.
Goodness, I just want to grab you and give you a hug, Dane. That's just so awful. You know, it's very passive aggressive, isn't it, to say that?
Yeah.
Within reach of you, like you say, you're not sure if it was meant for you or you're meant to hear that. So moving on from university, how did your weight affect you at that point? Was you able to leave university and find a career and put your energy into that?
Well, the funny thing is that at university I studied musical theatre, and I wanted to be a performer. I wanted to, which sounds really ridiculous thinking about it, because I just had no self-confidence at all. But again, I think I'd just, like I said, got used to pretending like I was fine. I'd go to auditions and pretend like it didn't bother me that I was the biggest person there, and that I, you know, didn't get a lot of roles because of my size. And I knew it was because of my size. And I do feel like I missed out on a lot of opportunities. You know, I was fortunate enough to do little bits here and there, always in the chorus, always stood at the back, you know. But it did knock my confidence so much, and just how, as well, sort of I was treated in the industry, that I just kind of came out of it and tried to find alternatives to performance, really, that didn't involve me being in the spotlight. And I just tried my best as well to lose the weight, because I thought, you know, there'd be some sort of quick fix, or I could do one of these very low calorie diets, or the meal replacement things, you know, all the rest of it. I've tried everything pretty much, and you know, you get results initially, don't you? But it's not sustainable, and you can't, you know, carry on doing things like that, because you're just abusing your body, really.
So at that point, you felt that if you were able to get rid of the weight, then everything would be fine. Yeah.
Yeah. In my head, I thought if I could just lose the weight, I'd be more confident and I'd be able to go back to performing and all the rest of it. But I just couldn't lose the weight no matter what I tried. And I'd always lose a bit, and then, you know, you give up because you can't do it, and you put even more weight on, so you just keep getting bigger.
Bex, episode 62.
like some of the things that I'd done, like when I used to starve myself, I'd done a Dukan diet. I knew that it weren't good for me, but I was so desperate to lose that weight. And like say, my husband, he's watched me do some stupid stuff. And he's always said, this isn't good for you. It's not right. But I truly didn't care. I wanted to lose that weight because I thought I'd be so much happier in myself because I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. I used to just hate myself. I'd get dressed in the dark. I'd hate him touching my stomach. I wouldn't like him seeing me. I used to wear the baggiest clothes. You'd never see me in anything fitted or tight. So I just hated it. So I was so desperate to lose weight. I honestly didn't care what the consequences were. I never really given much of a thought. I just had to lose that weight and I wanted to do it quickly. So I heard about a plan that you could drop a stone in a week, 2 weeks. I'd be like, right, I'm doing that. And I spent a week doing a diet. I used to eat my food in the toilet at work because I was so ashamed of other people seeing me. I used to just sit and eat tiny amounts of food, but everyone would go, that's not enough. You can't live like that. But I'm like, no, I'll be fine. I'll lose this weight. I'll be okay. And I would lose the weight because I've starved myself for a week. But then that week later, it will go back on plus a bit more because suddenly I'm eating everything that I've missed. And when I done Slim World, I learned through there that you don't have to starve yourself.
No,
you can eat this food and it's okay eating because eating lots of food, because I mean, I have fairly big portions. Even now I'm not following Slim World anymore. I'm sort of following just a healthy eating. I still have pretty big portions.
Yeah.
But when I was growing up looking at that, I'd be like, oh my God, that's going to make me fat. I can't eat that.
When you were growing up and you saw these diets that your mum was going through, that, you know, the cabbage soup, that the Slim Fast, do you feel that there's any connection with how you saw your relationship with food in terms of what you needed to do to manage a healthy, slim body from what you saw with your mum, or the behavioural habits that she was getting into with these diets, these extreme diets? I mean, the cabbage soup, in particular, I would say that was quite an...
Pardon me for lying.
That was quite an extreme diet, wasn't it?
Especially,
yeah, it does strange things to your digestive system, does the cabbage soup diet. And I've never actually done that one, but I've heard the stories. So what I'm asking here is, do you see any connection with that?
And definitely, how you... yeah. It really has. It's and like I say, not to unpick lover, if my mum hears this, I love you. You've done an amazing job, but definitely seeing my mum growing up as well with that image that you've got to be slim, and once you've had babies you need to go back to looking fantastic. How dare you have stretch marks? How dare you have wobbly bits? My mum also very much was in that, so seeing her go through that and then me growing up in that environment as well, it definitely impacted there. And my mum, she's Slimming World. She's done really well. She's lost quite a lot of weight and she's on her own kind of path and realizing actually after all these years, she's amazing, that you don't need to do all these terrible things to yourself.
Can you see at what point where you recognize these behaviors and you work towards helping your mindset in terms of accepting your post-pregnancy body? At what point did you recognize that?
That was actually this year. Just looking at, I mean, it sounds terrible, just looking at other women's bodies. And I've got such a lovely group of people that I talk to on Instagram. They're amazing and they're so real. And also I changed who I follow. I started following more real people. You look, their pictures aren't edited. They've had babies, or they've had extreme weight loss, or I mean, they're just real. They're just real, bloody gorgeous women, and men as well. Just seeing just what real life is, and then you sort of look at yourself and you think, I'm real as well.
Yeah,
I don't. And just wearing clothes, like if you could see my stomach line for a t-shirt, I'd be like, oh my God, no, I can't wear that. Can't wear that. I would never wear a tucked t-shirt. And I remember, she's really, I've never met her, but I love her dearly. A friend on there, and she tucked her t-shirt in. And we've always said it's hashtag keeping it tucked. And just seeing her do it, and she looked fantastic.
Yeah.
And I was like, why don't I do that? Because, oh my God, because you can see my belly line. And I was like, it's a bit of wobble. It's there. I can't keep hiding. How can I spend the rest of my life keep on hiding behind clothes? This is my body. I'm never going to have a flat surfboard body. I mean, I might if I spend lots of money on surgery and do a couple of hundred sit-ups a day, but I'm not going to do that.
No.
It was hard. It really was. Going out, I remember doing the school run and I tucked my T-shirt and it was summer and I was going out and I felt really exposed. And I walked all the way to school and I kind of had my son's school bag kind of halfway across the front of me to try and hide. And obviously he'd gone into school. I didn't have the school bag anymore. So I had to walk and a lady walked past me. She went, we'd seen each other every morning, just like a good morning. She went, you look amazing. And I was just like, oh, thank you. And just because someone said something positive, you're like, actually, no, this is me. And I've just embraced it. And as you start embracing it, it gets easier.
And no doubt when I edit this down, it's going to be a very long podcast. It's going to be a very long podcast episode. And I can't begin to share how grateful I am to all the guests. Every single guest that has been on this show, it's a lot, you know, it's a lot when you're not used to public speaking, you're not used to just talking honestly and openly, sharing your story, it's a lot. But when people have done that, they've fed back that it's almost felt like life-changing for them because they've had that same experience that I've had as a podcaster. They're finally able to speak from the heart and share their story. I know that we're able to do that now on all different social media platforms, and you'll see me over on TikTok. So if you go over to TikTok, just look out for Slim and Stories podcast. I'm on there sharing bits about my current weight loss, about like the food that I eat. You'll see bits of hypnotherapy, lots of different things on there. And come over and follow. And if you just put in the comments, podcast listener, I'll give you a follow back and I'll support you on your journey too. So, you know, with that positivity of the podcast, of that transformation, I just want you to know that I'm here for you. You know, if you've struggled like I have in the past with binge eating, if this is something that's really raw for you, you're not really sure how to escape that, because whenever you try, you pull back into that negativity of whatever's happening in your life currently or things that have happened in the past, I'd love to hear from you. I've got your back. Know that I'm here to support you, because I know how it feels when we're in those dark places. But I want you to know that, like I say, there are more good people than bad, and that light will always shine even in the darkest room. And you've given me that ability to shine my light. And I hope you felt that. I hope that you've enjoyed the podcast so far. And I'm really excited to be recording more episodes and to be back doing this in a really brutally honest way. And I don't know if it's the wrong thing to have turned down sponsorship. I've received lots of invitations to have doctors on the podcast talking about weight loss and that journey. I don't know if I want to go down that route yet. I'm not really sure. So we will see where the podcast goes. We will see. And rightly or wrongly, again, I've turned down some guests that have had ridiculously high amounts of followers on social media because I felt that wasn't the right guest to have on. Again, rightly or wrongly, I'm just doing what I feel is the right thing to do, trusting my gut, and have a great week ahead. You trust your gut. Know that, you know, things are good. Things are good amidst this heaviness of the world right now. Things are good. And let me know how you are with your weight loss journey. Let me know how you are with your fitness. If you tried something brand new, if you're facing 2024 and you tried something different, let me know how your weight loss journey is going, your fitness journey. Thank you so much. Have a great week ahead. Take care.